welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and every Tuesday I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons they've learned along the way. If I've learned anything from interviewing such a wide range of moms, it's that no two extraordinary moms look the same. We all have a story to tell, and we are all mothering in our own way. So let's celebrate that and learn from one another. Thanks for listening, and if you like what you hear, please share the show with a friend. Happy 4th of July, everybody. It's Jessica from the podcast. I'm so glad to be with you on this special patriotic holiday. As you know, I'm a military wife, and I am so grateful to be part of this community. I've learned so much about what it takes to be a military family. When one person joins the military, the whole family joins the military. And we've learned so much from our time in Norfolk and now in Camarillo. And it's been a great experience for us. There's been a lot of trials and a lot of challenges that have come as well. But I have just learned so much. I feel like I'm a better version of myself after having to be more flexible, have less control. And as I've seen so many people around me who have underwent deployments and separations and losses, it has given me a whole new appreciation for military service. So I want to thank each and every person that has been in the military, is currently serving in the military, all the branches, and whether you are the one serving or it's your spouse or your dad or your son, whoever it may be, thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice and for your willingness to step up and to keep this free nation free. So today is episode 146, and today I'm talking with Lauren Molloy. She is a military wife, and so I wanted to talk with her about the sacrifices her family has made, what her experience in the military has been like, and what she's been going through lately. So let's talk with Lauren Molloy. All right, I want to welcome Lauren Molloy today. Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going. How's it going for you?
I'm good. I'm currently in California, but I don't know if you know this, I recently moved from Norfolk.
Yeah, actually, your Chesapeake came up on your, under your name, and I thought, well, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Where else is there Chesapeake?
Yes, no, exactly. Yeah, we were there. We were stationed there for 2 years. My husband's in the Navy as well, and so we moved last August.
Oh, fun. Yeah, I'm actually from here originally, and then when I moved away and came back, so it's a little different now. I'm sure it's changed since you've been here too, but
sure. It's
fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it's a great area, and it's great being in a large military base because then there's so many people to meet. There's so much of that community, and here, my husband's at Port Hueneme, and it's just so teeny tiny that there's not near the type of camaraderie that we felt in Norfolk, so we do miss it.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Well, I originally found you online, and as I was looking for a military spouse or military member to interview for our 4th of July episode, I came across you and your story, and it just warmed my heart so much and spoke to me. So will you just tell me a little bit about your background for the people that don't know you?
Yeah, so I actually became a military spouse. I started dating my husband in 2011, and we got married in 2013. We've been married since, and since then we've lived here in Norfolk, and then also moved to Pensacola, Florida, and then now we're back here where all my family is. I am a registered nurse, and I work super part-time just to kind of keep my skills up, but I also totally love working with mothers and new babies on the postpartum unit. And my other job is a stay-at-home mom, which I absolutely love as well. So I'm really fortunate I can stay home with my kiddos and work all at the same time.
And you have two babies, right?
Yeah, so I have Tinley and Tate. Tinley is two, and she is your typical two-year-old that is, kind of a terror, but also the sweetest little girl in the world. And Tate, he is 4 months, almost five months, and he is also the sweetest little unique baby that there ever was. He was born with a limb difference, so he's missing part of his hand and fingers on his left hand, but you would never know it, and I look forward to kind of talking with you about that and sharing that part of my life, because it kind of rocked our worlds when we found out. I have no doubt in my mind that he will succeed in everything that he puts his little mind to.
Yeah, that's awesome. And if anybody hears any padding, you're actually wearing Tate right now. And so that's
Sorry.
Awesome. It's a mom's podcast. That's what we're all about. That's great. And so tell me about your early motherhood days when you just had your daughter. Let's go back to that time. How were those early motherhood days for you?
For me, it was probably the happiest time of my entire life. It was the easiest. The more you add, well, for me, it's been a lot more difficult. But with Tinley, like I said, we were stationed in Pensacola, Florida, so it was just my husband, myself, and Tinley. And it was such a blast. It was so easy. I loved doing things with her and taking her to the beach. And I didn't really have any complaints of anything. I didn't work either, so that made things a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
As well, so I could stay home with her, and that she was my life. So I guess when you compare it to Tinley and then bringing Tate on, it's two completely different, total different takeover when you have two. It's just like a lot harder. So
sure.
When people ask me about Tinley, I'm like, oh, she's easy peasy.
Yeah, exactly. And everyone has different opinions, whether going from like 0 to 1 or 1 to 2 or 2 to 3. Everyone has a different experience. And I think it totally depends on the temperament of the child and the temperament of the older children and, you know, things like that. So it sounds like 1 to 2 was harder for you. I think 0 to 1 was harder for me. Going from nobody depending upon me to someone always depending upon me, that was a rude awakening for me.
Yeah, you know, you're so right, because I do have women who tell me that as well, and then I have women tell me that going from 1 to 2 was super easy,
mm-hmm.
and it makes me feel like, oh my gosh, what have I done wrong?
No.
But then I have women that say, you know, after 3, it's like super easy. So yeah, you're so right when you say that, and it's very interesting to get different opinions from others.
Yeah, and I've heard Jim Gaffigan has a spoof where he says, you want to know what it's like to have 4 kids? You have 3 kids, and you're swimming, and then you're drowning, and then somebody hands you a baby.
Oh, yes, I can totally see that.
So, I mean, it's never easier, but I think you kind of hit your stride at some point, but sometimes it takes a little while, and I think there's no shame in it taking your time and realizing, okay, this is hard. This is not easy.
Right.
That's just fine.
And that's what I did with Tate. I realized it was kind of like somebody slapped me in the face with, you know, reality, and I just wasn't expecting it to be as hard as it was. And I actually wrote a blog, 2 Under 2, about my experience with bringing home Tate and how my, at the time, 20-month-old Tinley was reacting and acting towards us, and she regressed a ton. And so for any of the moms that are listening that have 2 or expecting their second, it's actually, I think, a very good personal blog for them to kind of get an idea of how it went for us. Again, it's not the same for everyone, because you're right about the temperament of the child and things like that. But yeah, it was kind of a reality check for me when I brought Tate home from the hospital. But it does get better as you kind of learn your child's personality and what they want and what bothers them and things like that. It just takes time.
It does. It does. And so tell me about Tate's condition. Tell me about his limb difference.
Yeah. So at 15 weeks gestation, I was going in for an ultrasound for some other things. And it was just a freak thing that happened. I had the most wonderful sonographer who caught his hand. They at the time weren't sure if it was his fist was clenched or if he just in fact did not have a hand or fingers. So of course I had to write a blog on that one, and that's another one that is up on there. But it's 1 in 30 to 40,000 births if this happens to. There's no rhyme or reason, no cause for it. It's nothing the mom did. It's nothing. It's not a genetic thing. It just happened. And I actually have a follower who emailed me and said that they were flipping through their phone and their son was, or flipping through Instagram, and their son was looking at the photos, and they came across a photo of Tate, because I definitely do not hide his limb difference, because mm-hmm. I think it's amazing. And they said, you know, God must have just ran out of time making this little boy.
Oh.
It was just such a cute too. I just laughed so hysterically.
That's darling.
I almost cried because I just love the way that little kids think in their minds, how they make things up like that. So obviously we haven't gotten to the point where we've really been in the situation where people come up and blatantly ask what has happened to him, or, you know, how did that happen, or things like that. But yeah, so it's just a kind of a freak thing that happened, and you know, I couldn't imagine him any other way. So basically, he just was born with no fingers. There's some cartilage in his hand, and they say it can turn into bone eventually. We'll go back when he's 15 months old for another x-ray to see if that happened or not. But yeah, he just, if you look at my photos, it's just kind of like a nub, and we just call it his little nubby and move on, so.
Right, yeah. And like you said, you haven't had to, you know, face a lot of questions yet, but are you already thinking through those conversations and what you might say to those people or those children that may ask down the road?
Yeah, I think the best, easiest explanation for those strangers on the street that ask is just that's the way that God made him.
Yeah.
And there's really no more to it than that, because that's really just what happened.
Right.
You know, for people who know me or follow me, they know exactly what happened or what's going on, and I'm super open about it. I actually love when people ask me about it. And I might be speaking for a lot of other people in a situation similar to ours, where instead of just standing and staring at things, when people come up to you, I'd rather you come up to me and ask me what happened, because I would love to spend time talking to you about it, because it's a part of our life and it's part of him. And that's what we hope to incorporate, how in his life when he gets older, so he's not embarrassed of the situation, that he could just be open about it and understand that that's just the way God made him.
Yeah, and it's just one part of him. It's just one aspect to who he is. And I've had lots of moms on the show before. Leslie Spencer, her daughter has dwarfism, and same kind of thing. At the park, she'll notice the stares, she'll notice the looks. And I think one of the most important things, and she agrees, is that teaching your kids how to ask those questions. So it's one thing to like point and stare and be like, what's wrong with you?
Right.
And but there's some adults that do that. And you're like, did no one ever teach you like tact? And this just blows your mind. But when we're modeling for our kids, asking good questions, not for the point of just voyeurism, but genuine curiosity and understanding, those are great, healthy conversations to have. And like you said, you'd rather have someone come up to you than just kind of edge away and be awkward, right?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's the perfect word to use, because a few times when I have caught people staring, you just feel very awkward. You know, you kind of just want to go over and tap them on the shoulder and be like, it's okay to talk to me about this, because this is a part of us.
I would totally do that. I'd be like, do you need something? Or, it's the hand, right? Let me tell you. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. And I'm sure that it's going to be a great source of strength, ultimately, when you frame it with this type of positivity. When you treat something like it's a less than hand, that's how he's going to grow up thinking about it. But when you grow up, this is how God made you. We're proud of it. You can compensate all these things. That is how he's going to grow up living. And what a beautiful lesson.
And, you know, the strength part, too, is I'm so happy to be able to teach my own daughter that people are different. And her brother is one of those many people. But that's, you know, everyone's different. And it doesn't mean that you're less of a person or that it's a bad thing. That's just how we're born. And so I look at it as a good lesson for her in life, to not be one of those bullies, to not be one of those people that just stare, but to just accept people of who they are.
I definitely agree with that. Hey guys, sorry to interrupt the conversation with Lauren. I hope you're enjoying this episode, but I wanted to tell you about today's show sponsor, and that is PrepDish. PrepDish is a healthy, subscription-based meal planning service that will take the headache out of meal planning for you. That's exactly what you need this summer. I've been trying it out recently, and I am loving it. This is what PrepDish is. They will send you an email of a grocery list and instructions to prep all of your meals ahead of time. In 1 to 3 hours of prepping on the weekend, you'll be able to have all of your meals ready to cook for the entire week. Doesn't that sound amazing? Prep Dish will save you so much time, so much money, and it will give you some great new ideas for meals to serve your family. Allison over at Prep Dish has been so kind to offer Extraordinary Moms podcast listeners a 2-week free trial. There is no risk. Give it a try. See if it works for your family. All you have to do is go to prepdish.com/EM for Extraordinary Moms, and that's lowercase EM. prepdish.com/EM and try it out for 2 weeks. That's 2 emails, 2 weeks worth of shopping lists and recipes. I know you're going to love giving it a try. So check out Prep Dish today, and thanks Prep Dish for sponsoring this podcast. Let's get back to our conversation with Lauren Malloy. So you are a military spouse and your husband is currently deployed. Is that correct?
That is correct. He left the beginning of March and he'll be back the beginning of October. So that's about 7 months.
How's it going?
It's going. It's really, really difficult. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You know, I always say that the first 2 weeks after they leave are the worst. You know, you're getting out of a routine that you had when they were here to your own routine, and you realize that you're on your own. But after the 2 weeks, after you've accepted the fact that they're not coming home for a while, you just kind of put your big girl pants on and just say, okay, it's you and me, kids. And so we're doing okay. I'm fortunate that I live back here in Norfolk, that my family's here to help. So that is really kind of where I'm able to kind of keep some of my sanity.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's very difficult.
Absolutely. And so how does life look different as a solo parent?
I have the utmost respect for those women who do it on their own on a daily basis, military, single, whatever the situation is. It's so difficult. You know, instead of having that those extra hands to help you, you know, give baths or read books, go to bed, you know, just putting kids in the car seat, or, you know, just having someone at the house so you can run out to the grocery store because you need some milk or whatever the case might be. It's just, you just don't even think about things like that when your husband's here. So I've like come to actually appreciate my husband so much more. And I know that kind of sounds bad, but it's like, you don't know what you have until it's gone kind of thing.
Sure.
I just, like, the first week I just sat there and cried to him. Like, I'm so sorry. I took advantage of you and didn't appreciate you. And, you know, it's very difficult.
And I think you're right. Those first 2 weeks, it's kind of a rude awakening and there's a lot of adjustments. But then you kind of do hit your stride and you realize, oh, I don't have to make real dinner every night. Not so bad.
And yeah, there are pros to it. You can just give the kids peanut butter and jelly and or popcorn or whatever.
Right.
You don't have to make dinner
right.
for somebody else, you know. So there are pros to it. I won't say that it's all totally terrible, but
you kind of have to really focus upon those really, you know, good things because,
right.
Yeah, you kind of weigh up the pros and cons list. Obviously, there's way more cons, you know, being a solo parent and having your husband gone and missing these milestones for your kids. It's super heartbreaking emotionally as well as logistically. But, there are some perks a little bit, but not enough to outweigh that you wouldn't want him home, obviously. Yeah, and so how do you face the hardest days? So on days where you're sick or they're sick and or maybe you didn't get enough sleep, which is very common. You have a 4-month-old. How do you kind of get through those toughest days?
Okay, so the honest answer is going to be my mom.
That's great.
She really helps me out so much. I have the most amazing friends here, too, that help me out. You pray a lot. I write a lot, like on my blog or, you know, in like a notebook, you know, and also the honest answer is when it comes time for 5 o'clock, I drink a glass of wine because I think every mom deserves that after a full day of parenting, you know?
We all need to have that release at the end of the day that we look forward to, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so for parents or women that may not be a military wife, but they could be a doctor's wife, they could be a lawyer's wife, you know, all these jobs where your husband or your spouse might work long hours and you might be solo parenting a lot. We're kind of all in that same boat at times. What advice do you have for people that are solo parenting?
My advice, Well, hopefully there's a light at the end of the tunnel for those that are solo parenting. Just keep going, keep your head up high. The best advice that I ever got right before Ben left, my husband, was to get up before the kids, get a shower, get yourself ready before they get up. Because as long as you get up and you feel refreshed, have that cup of coffee, I feel like you can conquer the world. You know, just like spend 15 minutes in the morning, however long it takes, just for yourself. I know people are probably like, well, why the heck would I get up before my kids? But it really truly makes you feel like you put some time aside for yourself to conquer the day.
Yeah, and morning hours, it kind of feels like you're stealing extra time, right? Absolutely. It's like you would have just lost that time sleeping, but waking up and having that silence, and especially if you were on your game the night before and picked up, to have like a clean house just for a few minutes and look around, or at least a clean room, right? Like right. just pick a clean space where you feel peaceful and good and do something that's soul giving. You may not have time to sit down and read a book the rest of the day. You may not have time to paint your nails, but if you just wake up a little bit earlier, even that 15 minutes, you could do those things and then look down at your nails and be like, I feel fancy, you know?
Exactly. It doesn't take much to make yourself feel like, you know, okay, I've set that time aside. Now it's time for my kids. And then when 5 o'clock comes around or whenever you put your kids to bed, then you have more time.
Right. Exactly. I love that. I think that's really smart. And so did you ever picture yourself as a military wife? Would you ever have pictured this life for yourself?
Absolutely not. I, in fact, swore that I would never marry anyone in the military because I didn't want to plan my children around deployments. Isn't that funny? But it's a true story. And I met my husband on a blind date, and which was the only blind date I'd ever been on. And obviously it worked out, and here we are. So I think, you know, I always said that that's not what I wanted, but sometimes God has different plans for you, and he certainly had a different plan for me. And I wouldn't have it any other way, honestly. You know, I mean, their separation between, you know, with him being gone and us, it makes us stronger, both for us as a couple and for, you know, the children. Although Tinley doesn't necessarily understand so much that Daddy's gone yet, but I know maybe in the next year or so she will understand more. But going back to your question, yes, I always said I was never going to marry anyone in the military.
Yeah, it's really interesting. My husband is a JAG, and he, after law school, he became a corporate attorney for a few years, and he'd kind of always wanted to serve. And so after a few years at the law firm, he's just like, I still really feel like I want to do that. Yeah. And I'm like, really? I should have known when he's watching that JAG TV show in high school that this could have been our life. But right. So I never pictured it either. And so I'm really only 3 years into being a military wife, even though I'm 33. So you just never know. But I feel like going down this path has taught me so much about, just releasing my vision of what I really want the future to look like and realizing it doesn't have to look any one way to be really happy and to be really fulfilling and to meet the people that you're supposed to meet and impact the people you're supposed to impact and to learn the things you're supposed to learn, all of those things. I mean, if you have a faith, God will work all of that out in whatever form he sees best. And you just kind of have to trust. And I'm really thankful for it. I was really reluctant going into it. I did not want to move. I did not want to join. I did not want to take a quarter of the salary. I didn't want any of that.
Right.
But here we are. And I'm really, really grateful for it. And so I know your kids are super young, but one of the hardest parts about military life is the moving around. So where have you guys lived so far? And then how do you kind of envision your future? Do you have any concerns about the moving and things like that?
So we started out, so I met him when he was stationed here in Norfolk. And I actually, like I said, I'm from this area, so I was already here. I was in nursing school. Then he moved to Pensacola, which is where we had our daughter. So she was still very young. We then got orders back here to Norfolk. And she was still so young, 9 months old, that she didn't understand. We're up for orders again next year. And I still think she'll be a little too young to understand. I think the hardest part would really be just being having her separated from our family here. And so that right now is kind of what concerns me the most. Fortunately, with what he does, we have a high chance of staying here in Norfolk. And so I haven't really been able to think about that too much because there's just so much going on. I, on the other hand, after we're done having children, would love to, you know, move somewhere fun, you know, because the Navy pays for it.
Right.
So why not, right?
Yeah, exactly. You can be abroad but still get Skippy peanut butter at the commissary. So it's good.
Exactly. So, you know, I think the hardest part really is that will always be the hardest part is more just being separated from our families, which unfortunately a lot of military families, no matter what the branch they face on a daily basis, they have to move away from their families and friends. So that would really be the hardest part, I think, for my kids. And then, you know, I don't even really think about it now because they're not close to being in school. But I think the older your children get and the more you move around, the harder it is when they're in elementary, middle, high school. And I have seen that, and it is not easy for the kids. So I don't know. The Navy holds our fate in their hands, and so we'll see. We'll see if we stay in the military or if we get out. I'm not sure, but right now, this is where we're at.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So in addition to the logistics of being separated from your husband, for months at a time, there's also got to be the fear that he's potentially in harm's way. Does that weigh on you or does that take up much mind space on a day-to-day basis or do you kind of just block that out?
Yeah, so with what he's doing now, I worry on a daily basis. But I worry more because we have children. So it's kind of like that saying, you have too much to live for. After you have kids and you bring kids into the mix, your entire view of things, and I'm sure everyone can agree with this, changes.
Yeah.
And one of those is, you know, having kids and the safety of your husband. So I don't let it consume me. But when things happen on the news and I haven't heard from my husband, it really rocks my world until I do hear from him. But, you know, as part of a military spouse and with what he does, it's part of the job. And, it is concerning and I do worry. But, again, I don't let it consume me because I have to be strong for my children too, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And that really has to be a choice that you can either, you could totally let it consume you day in and day out and you just have to live your life and trust that what will be and, you know, hopefully he's coming home in a few months and that's the plan.
Yeah.
And so what would you say are the best parts of being a military family and what are the hardest parts for you guys?
Well, I think without it being said, the hardest part is being separated. The best parts are that we, because he is Navy, we're able to be around our family and our friends. And like I said, not all military spouses or families get that option. Other great parts of it really are meeting new people. I've met so many cool people through being in the military. And you were talking about how Norfolk is so big and so many people. What's really cool is that I'll meet people like in Pensacola, Florida, where we lived, and then we all got stationed back here together in Norfolk. So the likelihood of you passing through people that you knew or you will know, it's high. So I love that about it. I think the military, and not all might agree, but they really give you a great life. They take care of you. Or the Navy, and it's been a nice, fun adventure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of great things about it, in addition to those hard things, obviously. So is his line of work something where deployments are very frequent for him and to be expected in the future?
Fortunately, no.
Oh, great.
Where we were in Pensacola, he was actually on what they call a shore tour for 3 years. So he was home for 3 years straight, which is another reason I think that this deployment really rocked my world was because he had been home for about over 3 years straight. And so for him to just up and leave was kind of crazy. But This will be his only deployment for this tour. And so normally guys are gone for much longer than him. So I really did get lucky. But regardless of the timing or the amount of times that they're gone, it's still hard regardless. But we don't really know when he'll be gone again. We'll just have to get our next orders and then go from there. But this will be his only deployment for this tour.
Well, that's nice. But that's still challenging. But that's nice that you can expect that. So tell me more about your blog, Lauren.
Yeah, so I started my blog in September of last year, and I really just wanted, I've been thinking about doing a blog for a while, but honestly, I thought, who the heck cares about what I have to write about? Mm-hmm. And with much of encouragement from my husband and my family, I started it in September, and it was really more for me, kind of was like a, almost like a diary, you know, like what's on my mind type of thing, or how can I help other women out? Because being a stay-at-home mom, essentially, I used to have a lot of time on my hands to just research baby products and things like that. So I thought it would be a good platform for me to be able to share, you know, what kind of research I came up, or, you know, of different baby products or different lifestyle things, clothes, mommy and me matching, anything really. So I started the lifestyle blog, and it's really kind of just a whole bunch of different things. And then, you know, of course, when we found out about my son, I thought, wow, this would be such an amazing tool to use to reach out to the other families that are going through something similar to me. And I think the most rewarding thing of the entire blog is that I have been able to reach out to so many families that have been gone through situations, maybe not of a limb difference, but of some type of world-rocking news. And they come to me in confidence just because they need to talk to me or talk to somebody about it. And I love that. And I love being there for people like that. So yeah, I just kind of started it, and it's kind of taken off, and I really love it because I get to meet so many different people, and I actually have met locally so many amazing women that also do blogging.
That is so fun. And so what has this passion project done for you as a person, especially with your husband being gone now and you have this outlet? What has that done for you?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So it's been such a great outlet for me to get my mind off of Ben being gone, be able to meet other people, talk about my feelings, help other people out. And I'm excited to see where it goes, to be honest.
That's really exciting. And so tell everybody where they can find you online.
So my website is called mindingmalloy.com, M-I-N-D-I-N-G, Malloy, M-U-L-L-O-Y.com.
Great. And we're going to link to all this in the show notes at extraordinarymomspodcast.com so people can look you up. And you also have a great Instagram, and you're really active over there. So that's fun to follow along with your family's journey as well over there. So
yeah.
How would you say that the military life and being a military wife has changed you as a person? Are you different now than you were, say, 10 years ago?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely more independent because you have to be, like, when they're gone. I feel like it kind of made me grow up a lot. Yeah, I just went from being in college and nursing school to moving all the way to Pensacola, Florida. You know, so living with my mom to moving out and living on my own with my husband and then having a kid. So you really grow up really quickly. It's really taught me how to kind of, you know, not only be independent, but kind of fend for yourself. And it's really grown my relationship with my husband, especially moving away. You know, you can't just like walk and go to mom's house because you get in an argument or something like that. You mm-hmm. you really have to focus a lot on your own relationship. And but yeah, definitely I've grown a lot, and I love the life that I live, and I'm really proud of myself. I don't mean to toot my own horn, but it's been such an amazing journey, and I think the other thing that I love so much is that you just never really know, being in the military, where you're going to go or what's going to happen. And I kind of live my life that way. I used to try to plan everything out, and it just wasn't working for me. And so with the military, it's just like, well, whatever happens, happens. And I kind of just let go of trying to control everything and just kind of let it be.
Yeah. No, that's a great mentality for life. I think that's really wise. Well, Lauren, this has been so fun chatting. I always ask my guests one final question, and it's this. What would you tell your pre-motherhood self?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Sleep as much as you can. Well, like I just said, don't try to control everything, because you'll make yourself go crazy. And I guess just live life to the fullest, because, you know, it's such a great, crazy world, and, man, you just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Military life definitely teaches you that. That's great. Lauren, this has been so fun. Tell everybody where they can find you online and all the places.
So you can find me on Instagram, and I think you're going to put a link up to that in the profile of my my Insta name is LU_Malloy, and then my website is mindingmalloy.com, MindingMulloy.com.
Perfect. Thank you for sharing. Happy 4th of July. I hope the rest of the deployment goes very quickly for you, very smoothly, and thank you for your whole family's service. I've said it a time and time again, when one person's in the military, the family's in the military, and you're evidence of that. So thank you for your family's sacrifice and willingness to serve.
All right, and likewise. Thank you.
Have a great day. Happy 4th.
You too. Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Lauren as much as I did. I learned so much from her and was so encouraged by her journey. So thank you, Lauren, for your family's service again. And to all the military families out there, happy 4th of July, and thank you so much for your service. We have an amazing episode coming up this Friday. It's with Chelsea Thede of Mama Bear Naturals. She's going to talk about feeding your baby and feeding your toddlers and getting them the proper nutrition. I learned so much from her. She's a food scientist by trade, and she's become very passionate about this since her baby was failure to thrive when he was 3 months old, and she helped him to improve his health by the year mark. And so I just learned so much, and I know that you will too. If you want to follow me on Instagram, you can do that at JessicaDahlquist3 or on Facebook at Extraordinary Moms Podcast. And everything we talked about today and past show notes and past episodes can be found at ExtraordinaryMomsPodcast.com. And if you're new around here, I would love for you to head over to iTunes or any of your podcast apps and look back over and see if there's any other episodes that might resonate with you. We've had so many. This is 146. And I know that there's so much there from interviews with amazing moms who could share their lessons that they've learned, and it can really encourage and inspire you today. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week for another episode with another extraordinary mom. Bye.